You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
How's that, eh? KPMG rethinking its future in South Africa. What future?
Duh.
How are you?
I'm very well. I've missed you, man. You know what? You were away last week. And I don't recognize you because you're running now, and you know, I just...
Yeah, jeez, dude, running is hell.
Do you know what? I love running, but it is hell. Yeah. It's just...
I'm struggling.
Are you?
It's because not fun.
It's different to doing weights, right? And you do a lot of weights in the gym.
I've stopped
and
doing weights for months. I'm just going through an interesting rethink about...
You need to blend the two together.
I am going to, yeah, but I want running to become a habit first. How often do you run?
Look, I haven't been running of late, but I'm getting back into it. When I was running at my peak, I was doing about 4 or 5 runs a week.
What distance?
It depends what I was training for, but I ran half marathons. And this year I want to do a marathon. So I need to vary up my training.
And when you started, you couldn't have enjoyed it, man.
No, I didn't. I used to do like short distances and you build up weekends. I do a nice long distance, maybe 10, 15 kilometers. I do the park runs on a Saturday for speed. I'm not one of those people that are designed for distance.
I don't think I am. Yeah.
No, I'm designed for short space.
I'm doing like 2.5 to 3.5.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. That's great. You know, and if you can get your pace to around 6 minutes a kilometer, then you're doing well.
Hmm. Okay, so KPMG doesn't have a future, but Nokia does?
Well, Nokia does. You know, it's interesting. These guys have been, when they came out of, you know, Nokia, we know the history of Nokia. Nokia was the world's biggest phone company and they got a bit arrogant. They got a bit, you know, ahead of themselves thinking, you know, we're not going to do this. And, you know, what's a smartphone? Who's Apple? Who's BlackBerry, etc. And we know what happened there. But another company has bought the brand Nokia and they're producing the most amazing devices. And they're coming back with all the retro stuff that people have been talking about, like the 3310 that we reviewed a while back. And they are manufacturing devices using the Android operating system. And what's unique about it is that most operating systems, most Android phones in the market today, the likes of the Samsungs, the LGs, and all these guys, they obviously put their own kind of interface on it, you know, just not interface, but they add their own character specific for their company so they can, you know, be a little bit different. So they don't really change massively what's the operating system, but you know, the icons might be different. And when there's software updates, they might take a little bit longer than the others. But what's nice about the Nokia, for example, is that they use the standard stock Android operating system. So when the updates come out, they're available immediately, which is good. This device that we've got the one you've got in your hand at the moment is the Nokia 7 Plus. It's a mid-range Android phone. It's got a decent sized battery. It's got a super HD screen. It's got a fantastic camera. They use the Zeiss optics and they've got, you know, front and back, and it takes really great photographs. And I've been quite impressed by the build quality of it. And you won't believe the price of this device, you see, because it costs 6,600 rand.
Oh, wow.
It is really good. And that's where the big fight is at the moment with phones is, you know, the affordable ones. You know, you've got the Apples and the high-end Samsung S9s that are, you know, 15 grand and up. Wow. A lot of people can't afford that. This is a great mid-range device. It's running stock Android, and it's a great, great device. I love what Nokia is doing with their devices at the moment. So
sounds pretty cool.
I recommend it. What do you think of it? It feels solid. It's solid metal structure. You know, it's. I mean, I'm very impressed with it.
Mm, no, me too.
Yeah,
looks cool.
Mm.
I can't remember what we're talking about next.
The brain.
But I do know that it is something that will help me to remember.
Yes.
See what I did there?
So, you know, I've met a few mates of mine who've got, you know, his parents have got Alzheimer's disease. And it's a horrible disease, eh? Because when I come and see you, and this has just happened to some friends of mine, that, you know, when your parents don't recognize you, it must be the most tragic thing in the whole world. I think that's what scares me the most about getting old, is losing your memory and not being able to function without having people around you to help you. I just cannot begin to think what it must be like that you can't recognize anybody. So what the scientists at the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center have done, and the University of California, they have basically done a successful implementation of a prosthetic system. And how they've done this, they've basically decoded what your brain thinks. Now, let's pretend for a moment that you are suffering from memory loss, okay?
Sorry, what was that?
So what they've done is they've managed to decode, to code your brain and what's inside your brain's memory, okay? So they're able to take that, and then they're able to process it back to me, for example, and then I'm able to, through technology, process that back to you, almost as a top-up so that you will remember me in going forward in the future. So it's almost like backing up your brain and using that in future to be able to prevent – well, you're not going to prevent it fully, but to help restore your memory to a point that you will be able to recognize me.
This sounds like a follow-up to Jim Carrey's The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
It's almost something like that, Eusebius. It's almost something like that. So they're using this novel approach where they will have an almost like an implant to help restore your memory. So they've been able to code the memory from you to a specific machine and then upload it back to you so you can remember things like that. So it's really a brain hack, and the initial stuff, and it's not available commercially yet, but what's amazing is that they've been able to code this and to be able to make some sort of sense of what your memory is to be able to upload it again. So up to now, the baseline measurement success rate has been 35%, which is pretty good. And it gives hope to people who have been suffering from Alzheimer's, who are suffering from Alzheimer's disease. I'm not sure how long it's going to take before it's commercially available, but we're making such amazing advances on the brain and prosthetics and that sort of thing. So it wouldn't be surprising to see this kind of technology being available in the next 18 or so months.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Now, Facebook is continuing to chowing its competitors in areas we don't traditionally associate with them. You know what? The other day, I didn't even realize, I don't know how long this has been possible, that one of the little gimmicks from Twitter that they've now also crossed over into Facebook is running polls.
Yes, yes. Look, Facebook copy a lot of people, and they take things and they seem to do them a lot better. And you know, they just recently, not Facebook, but there was independent studies recently announced, you know, with all this controversy about the data and all that sort of thing. Actually, people aren't leaving Facebook like, you know, some publications have been saying. You know, people are leaving, but last week was the Facebook F8 conference. It's the annual conference where Mark Zuckerberg gets up and he does his whole thing. And he did speak about the privacy issues, and he did speak about what they're going to be doing about it. And it's interesting. I'm not so sure that I completely. I mean, they're a business. They're in the business to make money, you know. And you know, they create smoke and mirrors to try and get your attention off it so that you do other stuff on their platform. But they've got some very successful platforms. And interestingly, the two guys that have been very critical about Facebook are the founders of WhatsApp, who you know, Facebook bought for $18 billion. And the actual former CEO who was on the board of Facebook has also stepped down as well. So he cited stuff that he doesn't agree with what Facebook is doing with WhatsApp, and that wasn't his initial image, vision of WhatsApp.
But you know what's interesting is with all the scandals around privacy going on in relation to Facebook, I thought to myself, one of the latest things that they've announced in terms of dating, it's so cheeky, because when they justified it with the announcement, they were telling us how many people on their Facebook accounts are saying that they're single.
Single.
What makes you think that being single means that I want you to tell me who I might date on here?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they've got, I think the latest stats is that there are 200 million people on Facebook that are single. And that's probably people that have put single. You know, some people that are single don't necessarily say they're single. You know, that their status is blank.
That's right.
But it was quite interesting that Facebook have now said we are going into the dating game. And they're going to be announcing ways, and it's going to be a feature that you have to enable. So if you're single and you're looking, and it's interesting, you know, a company called Match.com, who owns Tinder, for example, their shares tumbled last week. Their shares dropped by 20% in some cases.
Because of this announcement?
On the announcement of this news. And if you think about it, as a platform, Facebook knows a lot more about me than what Tinder and what Match does, for example.
That
because
is true.
Tinder scrapes the information from Facebook. So if Facebook said to Tinder, we're not giving you the information anymore, they stuffed. But Facebook really knows a lot about me and what my likes and what my dislikes are, so they'll probably give me a more accurate match on who I'm looking for if I'm single, for example.
That's true. They probably even know already who's sliding into my DMs.
Exactly. They'll look out and they'll look at people and saying, well, you seem to be liking a lot of pictures of people that are 20 years younger than you. So we'll try and match you with a Ben 10, for example. So Facebook knows a lot about you, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how they do with a single thing. But what fascinated me was their announcement that they're saying that, okay, so you're concerned about, you know, people knowing your history. Now they're going to give people more control on a new tool that they use called Clear History. And what this tool will do, it's almost similar to deleting your cookies on a browser when you erase everything. But it will allow you to choose, disable who is allowed to take your information and who's not allowed to take your information. So you'll have more control on your privacy. And you'll say, I don't want New York Times to follow my patterns on Facebook. I don't want this. I don't want that. And you can block everybody from doing it. So that's where they're saying they give people more control.
There's such a trust deficit. I wonder how many of us will believe that they will actually be doing that. But it's a suggestion.
Or find other ways of getting it. You know, who knows? Yeah. But the interesting thing as well is that, you know, Facebook owns WhatsApp, they own Instagram, and obviously Facebook. And now they've announced that all three of those platforms, they've already had it on Facebook Messenger, but Instagram and Facebook will allow a group video chats, which is quite interesting, and being doing that on WhatsApp. So you can take your WhatsApp, for example, and take a few people and have a group video chat. So, you know, I don't know the maximum amount of people, they haven't announced that yet, to be able to do that on Instagram and on Facebook Messenger and on WhatsApp is quite an interesting move. So can you imagine how noisy those family groups are going to get if you allow that to happen? But essentially, they're now allowing conference calls, you know, with a number of people, Instagram being at the more social side of it. But, you know, think of the powerful tool that it can be for schools, for example, or university study groups. If you guys are doing revision together and you're all working together. So I think there are some advantages 100%. In that sort of thing. But they're 100%. Obviously moving ahead with the times, and you're going to see their other competitors offering similar stuff as well. You can do that already with Skype and that sort of thing. But videos, massive.
More choice for us as the consumers.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and
par for the course. Thank you, Aki. Have a beautiful week.
You see, miss you too. Nice to see you again after 2 weeks.
You too.
I've missed you.
I've missed you more.
I don't care what the rest of your team says.